Amen. Awesome. Amen. Well, church family, I'm excited to get into the word today. Were you guys blessed by the word last week from Ariel? Come on, man. Y'all need y'all to do better than that. She did a phenomenal job sharing God's word last week and on our Mother's Day message. Incredible, incredible. If you didn't catch that message, I would encourage you to take a moment, go back and listen to my bride as she brought forth the word of God last week. But I'm excited because today we're going to begin a brand new series for these next few weeks, a brand new series of messages for the next few weeks. If you're new here to the Bridge Church, once again, we're honored that you're here. We love you, and we pray that today that God would encourage you, that he would speak to you, that he would give you everything that you need through today's message and some more. And so we're starting a brand new series of messages for the next few weeks that we're calling Radical. Somebody say Radical. Radical. And the reason why is because we believe that God does not want his people to be normal and to function the way that culture says. But rather, as the people of God, we're called to be radical. We're called to be people who stand out. We're not called to be people who blend in. We're called to be a people who stand out. We're different. And so for these next series of messages over these next few weeks, we're going to talk about these different radical elements that I believe that God wants us to embody and that God wants us to experience. And so today we're going to go to the book of John to kick off our series. Book of John chapter 14, verse 27 is where we're going to begin to read. And if you're here today, I want to encourage you to stand to your feet just for the reading and the honoring of God's word. And production team, if you guys wouldn't mind just bringing up these lights, just some, so that way I can see these beautiful faces of God. But John chapter 14, beginning at verse 27. And as you're turning there, when you leave today, you may notice if you're here in person at our Next Steps table, one of those tables out there, we have some of these cards right here. And these are what we call invite cards. And what we're asking you to do is to take some of these with you so that way you can be intentional and praying about who God may place in your heart to invite to be a part of receiving what it is that God has for them. We want people to receive the good news of Jesus. We want people to find community. We want people to find a church home. And a great way that you can do that is just simply by inviting somebody and giving them a card. It could be a friend. It could be a coworker. It could be a perfect stranger, whoever God places on you. But we want to be the people of God, and we want to reach people the way God has called us to reach. Because I don't know about you, but I really do see just the state that our world is in, and there's a lot of hopelessness, and I think people are looking for hope, and people are looking for answers. But as the people of God, we got the answer. Amen, somebody? Amen, somebody? Like, we got the answer. And so let's be intentional with just inviting people to be able to experience that. And so John chapter 14, beginning at verse 27, and here is what it says. I believe we have it on the screen in case you don't have your Bible with you. Here's what it says. Peace I leave with you. My to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't be troubled or fearful. You have heard me tell you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not talk with you much longer, because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. On the contrary, so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do as the Father commanded me. Get up. Let's leave this place. Verse 27 says it like this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. And today, to kick off our brand new series of messages for the next few weeks called Radical, I am calling today's message Radical Peace. Somebody say peace. Find somebody in the room and say, I need a piece of God's mind. I need a piece of his mind. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your favor and grace. We thank you for your word. I pray that you would give us wisdom. I pray that you would encourage us. I pray that you would comfort us. Comfort us right where we are. Would you speak to us? Would you move in our hearts? I pray for those who are troubled that they will be encouraged in this moment. For those who are anxious that they will be encouraged in this moment. Have your way even now in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. 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 Radical peace. And if you haven't already, if you happen to be on Facebook, if you haven't already, I want you to be intentional. Help us to get the gospel out. Go ahead and click the share button on Facebook so that way others can experience what it is that God has for us today. Radical peace. Now, I'm sure that many of us are familiar recently this week news that a gas pipeline had been hijacked or hacked, if you will. And as a result of this pipeline being hacked, it went under a cyber attack, I guess, if you will, there was a frenzy that took place all throughout the East Coast. If you're right here in Hampton Roads, you saw lines stacking up at local gas stations because there was a threat as a result of the hacking that took place in this pipeline that there would be a gas shortage, which then led to the panic of many, if you will, which resulted in numerous people buying large amounts of gas for storage purposes in the event that gas would run out. Similar about a year ago to the toilet paper craze, when everybody was buying up toilet paper from the stores left and right in the beginning of the pandemic. But it was interesting because, you know, if you're on social media, and maybe you watch the news or read the news, you probably saw that there was a lot of different, very interesting ways in which people were acquiring and capturing gas. Some people were filling up multiple barrels for gas. Yeah. Some people were filling up buckets with gas. Yeah. And some people were like, I got to get this gas so bad that they were even filling up plastic trash bags. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, I'm like, man, that's a little crazy. But honestly, if I'm just being honest, the threat of the gas shortage didn't really rattle me a whole lot. But do you want to know the thing that rattled me? It was that another shortage was actually taking place. It wasn't the threat of the shortage of gas, but it was the threat, or rather, it was the shortage of the amount of sauces that Chick-fil-A was giving out. I think we got that up here on the screen. Bring that up right quick. There was news sweeping the nation by storm that said Chick-fil-A plans to limit sauces to customers due to shortage. Now, I don't know about you, I need at least 3 barbecue sauces with my meal. So when I pulled up to Chick-fil-A this week, I happened to go there just to test this theory, and they only gave me 1 for a Chick-fil-A sandwich and a large fry. I said, oh no, the devil is a liar. I need a little bit more than this. It sent my heart into a frenzy. Because I'm like, I can't just eat no fries, these fries without the sauce. I can't just eat the sandwich without the sauce. But it was interesting because I thought about how in the climate and culture that we're in, we are facing so many threats of shortage, stress, difficulty. I think as we kind of survey the land, if we be honest, there is many things that we can find ourselves troubled about or anxious about or afraid about. Which brings us here to the text, because here in John chapter 14, Jesus is having a conversation with his disciples, and he's talking with his disciples about how his pending crucifixion and his pending death is on the way, and how he would not be with the disciples that much longer. And in John chapter 14, in the beginning of this chapter, verse 1, he actually opens up this chapter with these words: don't let your heart be troubled. And I find it to be interesting because when Jesus is saying these words to disciples, I believe that they resonate with many of us in here. Because as Jesus said to the disciples, don't let your heart be troubled, I believe that we can ask ourselves this question when we see his words to his disciples. What is it that is troubling my heart? What is it right now that's consuming my thoughts? What is it right now that is giving me anxiety when I think about it? What is it right now when I think about it, it begins to cause an elevation in my blood pressure? What is the thing that's troubling me in such of a way that is disrupting my sleep pattern that I can't even get a good night's sleep? And I think as we look around, As we kind of take inventory of our lives around us, there's much that we could be anxious and fearful and troubled about. Because when we look in our communities, when we look in our nation, when we look in our world, there's much that we can find ourselves afraid about, fearful about, stressed about. Many of us who may be kind of following the news recently probably saw this week that so many lives have been lost as a result of the Israeli and Palestinian conflict that's taking place literally right now. Children losing their lives, families losing their lives, buildings and homes being destroyed because of, if you will, some sense of war and battle and conflict that's taking place over there on that side of the world right now. And when you see that, it can easily bring some sense of fear and trouble to your heart. But I also believe that we're not just troubled by what we see happening around us on a larger level, but we could also be troubled by what's happening in our own lives. We also could find ourselves troubled because of the setbacks that we have experienced, because of the hardship that we're facing, because of the difficulties that we are facing, because of the racial tension that exists, because of the relational challenges that we're experiencing, because of the spiritual attacks from the enemy. If we could be honest, many of us who are watching online and are here today, you have come here today and you're struggling with anxiety, struggling with fear. Your heart's troubled by so much. I want to ask you the question again, what's troubling your heart right now? What is the thing that you've been stressed out about all week? You've been thinking about it all week long. You've been short with people because you've been thinking about that thing all week long. What is the thing that's troubling my heart? What's the thing that's troubling my mind? What's the thing that I can't stop thinking about? What's the thing that I mentioned this a few weeks ago that I continue to ruminate about? What is the thing that I continue to reflect on that is causing anxiousness and causing anxiety to take place in my heart? Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why would he have to say that? Because obviously the disciples' hearts were troubled. Why is Jesus asking us this question today? Because obviously some of us are here today watching online and here in person. Your heart is troubled, anxious, fearful. And I get it. It's real. All of us have experienced, myself included, all of us have had moments, some of us maybe more than others, where there is a troubling that's taking place in your life, where there's a stress that's taking place in your life. But I want to encourage us with this today, that if you came here and you turned on this stream this morning and you're watching online and you walked through these doors this morning and you came in here with a troubled heart, I want to encourage you and let you know this, that if you came in here with a troubled heart, there is good news for you. That if you came in here with trouble in your heart, I want to let you know that for every bit of trouble, God has so much more peace. I want to let you know that if you came in here troubled, if you came in here anxious, if you came in here stressed, if you came in here worried, I want to let you know today that there is good news and that Jesus wants to give you a free gift today. You know what that gift is called? Peace. Anybody need a little bit more peace in their life right now? Because you got a whole bunch of drama happening in your life right now. Kids are acting crazy. Work is acting crazy. Society's acting crazy. There's a whole lot of stuff that's happening in your heart right now. You're ruminating on this and reflecting on this. But Jesus says, hey, if your heart is troubled, I got good news for you. If you're sleepless at night, if you're worried, if you can't think straight, if you're filled with anxiety, I got a gift for you called peace. Yeah. And peace in the scripture, specifically in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, is the Hebrew word shalom. Everybody say shalom. Shalom means the peace of God. But in the scriptures, peace is oftentimes multifaceted. And when Jesus talks about this word peace here, it actually is layered in many ways. Because there's three dimensions that I want to kind of look at as far as peace. One is that he gives peace with God. That is this biblical word called reconciliation, because the Bible talks about that because of our sin, that we were once enemies of God, but because of the blood of Jesus, Jesus now comes to bridge the gap, to bridge the enmity that existed between God and us. He goes to the cross, he takes upon him our sins, upon himself, so that now in him and through him, we can now be friends and family with God. That's peace. He brings peace with God. But he not only brings peace with God, but he also brings peace with others. So the gift of peace that Jesus is talking about here is he says, I don't just want you to have peace with God. I don't just want you to be family with God. But what I want to do is I want to give peace in such of a way that it brings peace between people. That no longer do you have to be fighting against fighting against one another. That no longer do you have to be backbiting against one another. No, no, no. I want to bring a sense of peace where you are on one accord with somebody. But not only does Jesus bring peace with God and peace with others, and this is the peace that I want to lean into today. The peace that Jesus wants to give you is peace within. Yes. Peace within yourself. Because I think oftentimes we can celebrate and we probably have some bit of an understanding of how Jesus came to bring peace with God and peace with others. But for some reason, we stop at believing and thinking that Jesus can bring peace within. That Jesus wants to bring a peace to your heart, to in your heart, to bring a peace to the trouble and the stress and the worry that you face. I believe many of us who are Christians and are followers of Christ, we got the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of us, and we know the scriptures, and we know what Jesus has done for us. But if you could be honest and say today, Pastor, I don't got a whole lot of peace though. I'm walking around with a whole bunch of stress. And the peace that I want to lean into today is helping us to understand that for your stress and for your struggle and for your difficulty, Jesus wants to give you peace within. And the good news that Jesus is giving us here in John chapter 14 is that if you find yourself experiencing fear, frustration, and even failure, Jesus says, I want to give you the peace of God. And I don't want to just give you the peace of God for at the last moment. No, 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 no. I want you to live in the radical peace of God every single day of your life. That peace is not just some abstract topic. No, that peace is an absolute truth. That is something that you can carry around with you no matter what. And when Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, he's given us a few principles that I want us to understand about his peace. That his peace, number one, are you ready for it? His peace is credible. I want you to write that down. Notice what Jesus says in John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Then he says, I don't give to you as the world gives. I don't give to you as the world gives. He says, my peace is different than what culture gives. My peace is authentic. My peace is real. The world's peace is based upon happenings and resources. My peace is based upon relationship. The world's peace is based upon possessions. The believer's peace is based upon a person. I don't think y'all getting it yet. The world says you can have peace if you have this and you have that. You can have peace if you have all the money in the world. And you can have peace if you have the biggest houses in the world. You can have peace if you have all the degrees in the world. But Jesus says you have peace if you have me. Amen. He says my peace is different. It's credible. Meaning this, you can trust it. You can trust it because of the one who's given it. Why is this so profound? I'm glad you asked. John 14 and 6. You know what Jesus says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why is this so profound? Because the peace that Jesus gives is attached to his character. It's attached to who he is. The reason why you can trust the peace is because you can trust the source of the peace. Because he's reliable. Because, let me say it like this, he's good for it. You know how when people say they're going to do certain things, you can have a certain expectation based upon who it is that's saying it? Or y'all, maybe you're sitting next to that person. Maybe that's why you ain't want to say nothing. Maybe you're at home sitting next to them right now. I don't know. But you know how certain people say certain things like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take care of this. And you're like, no, you're not. Because I know you. But then you got other people in your life that if they say it, it's as good as done. What's the difference? The source. Yes, sir. Can I just give us a prophetic message today? Check your sources. Because if the source is good, you can trust what comes from the source. Let me say it like this. If the source is good, you can trust the resource. So because the source is Jesus, you can trust the resources that Jesus promises, which is peace. Amen. Matter of fact, let me give us this understanding. Peace isn't just what Jesus gives. Peace is who Jesus is. Peace isn't just what Jesus gives. It's who he is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says it like this. He himself is our peace. He is our peace. I love it. So when Jesus is saying, I'm giving you peace, you know what he's ultimately saying? I'm giving you me. He says, if you got me, you good. I'm good for it. I got five on it. You can trust it because it's coming from me. It's credible. It stood the test of time. The world promises one thing, but I give you something that's gonna last. I give you something that's authentic. I give you something that's real. I trust the source. Recently, I was in the mall, and I'm a Lakers fan, so I was looking for some like new Laker paraphernalia. I was looking for a Laker hat. And I went to one store, and I saw a Laker hat, but something about it didn't look right. The L was not as sharp as it should be. The purple didn't look purple. It looked a little, you know, blue. The yellow didn't look yellow. It looked a little orange. And I said, nah, this can't be it. And so what I started to do to test the quality and to test the authenticity of it was I began to look for the brand. And there's two brands that I look for when I'm looking for specific fitted caps or snapback caps. New Era,
yes, sir.
And Mitchell & Ness. And I saw neither one of those logos up there. I said, oh. Well, this is the reason why it's not authentic, because it's not coming from an authentic provider. And when Jesus says, I give you peace, he says, you can trust it because it's coming from an authentic place and an authentic source. He says, my peace, I give you. I leave you with peace. I don't give as the world gives. It's real. It's authentic. Peace isn't just what Jesus gives. It's who he is. The world's peace doesn't last. It's temporal. But Jesus' peace lasts. Why? Because he's eternal. Check your source. Somebody say, check your source. Check your source. The source of peace determines the strength of peace. So if the source of peace is Jesus, you can trust the strength of peace because it comes from Jesus. In other words, no matter the moment that you find yourself in, you can trust him. I need somebody to get that in your hearts today, because some of you are watching online and some of you came here today and you got all these questions and you got all this anxiety filling your heart and you're like, God, where are you? God, can I trust you? And God is saying to you, you can trust me, because no matter what it is that you face, I have peace for you. It's credible, but it's not only credible, it's also calming. The peace that Jesus gives is not just a credible peace, it's also a calming peace. Somebody say calming.
Calm.
Notice what Jesus says in verse 27. After he says, the peace I give you, the peace I leave you with you, the world gives, I don't give as the world gives, but then he says, don't let your hearts be troubled or fearful. Why does he say this? As he's talking about peace. Because he's helping us to understand that when it comes to his peace calms the anxieties that are in my heart. Jesus is a calming presence, and that's seen specifically through the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's a calming presence. This is a calming presence where he can be sitting at the bottom of a boat in the middle of a hurricane, and the disciples are going crazy, and he's sleeping at the bottom of a boat, and they're like, Master, Master, don't you care that we're gonna die? And he says, why y'all tripping? I'm calm in the middle of chaos. The peace of God brings calmness to moments of calamity. And some of us came in here that your heart is so anxious right now. Your spirit is so jumpy right now. It ain't because you ain't had coffee. It's because you got worry. It's because there's so much going on here that now it's coming out here. And it's leading to everything else that's happening in my life. But Jesus says, I want to give you the gift of peace, because my gift is not just credible, it's calming. It settles your spirits. When we look at everything that's happening in this world, we need the calming peace of God. We need the peace of God to calm the tensions that are happening. We need the calming peace of God to settle the anxiety that's in our hearts right now. Come on, somebody. We need the calming peace of God to bring tranquility and to bring wholeness to disastrous and troublesome situations. Some of our marriages right now, there's so much trouble, there's so much anxiousness there. You need the peace of God to bring some calm to it. The peace that Jesus gives is calming. Why is this good news? Because though I'm experiencing difficulty, it means that I can be at peace because of who's with me. Because if I got Jesus with me, then I don't need to freak out because of a storm, because if he's on the boat and chilling, then I can chill too. He's with me in all things. Do y'all remember the scripture? For those of us who may know the Bible, familiar with some scripture, Psalm 23, verse 4, after David is writing this psalm, and he says this in verse 4, Psalm 23, verse 4, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no danger. Why? For you are with me. I'm not afraid because I got possessions. I'm not afraid because I got the security of my finances. No. He says, I don't have to be afraid because you're with me. Yes, I'm with the one who controls the storm. Yes. I'm with the one who created this earth. I'm with the one who gave me breath in my body. I am with the one. Better yet, I'm not just with the one is with me. Amen. The reason why I can have so much peace in the middle of calamity is because I know who I got with me. I can be calm in the middle of chaos. Have you ever been around somebody who does not rattle under pressure? Have you ever seen somebody that just got a steady hand no matter what it is that they're facing? That you look at them and you're like, man, child, if that was me, I would have been lost my mind. How are you making it through what it is that you're making it through? Here's the answer, the peace of God. Amen. Because the peace of God settles. And many times, the enemy has convinced us into thinking that peace is found in the absence of problems. I'm here to let you know that's wrong. Peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. Peace is found in the presence and in the person and in the strength of God. So even if I got problems happening around me, I got a peace within me. I got comfort on the inside of me. So Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And he tells them that twice. And later on in scripture, in John 16, 33, he says, in this life, you're going to face much trouble. But don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because I'm with you. I got you. I think the word that many of us need to hear today, watching online and here in person, are these words. God has your back. I thought I would get a few more amens right there. God has your back. The thing that you are stressed out about, God has already taken care of. The thing that you are worried about, God has already handled. The thing that you're losing sleep about, God has already handled. And all he wants us to do is rest in his peace. It's peace. It's peace that the Bible talks about that's comforting. This peace that gives us hope, because peace isn't based upon what you have, it's based upon who you have. So we don't allow fear to set in our hearts. So even if I find myself encountering dark moments and difficult moments, even if I find myself dealing with stress and worry and anxiety, I can still have a calmness because of the peace of God. Family, I want you to know, everybody went through something over this past year. Everybody. All of us. Won't nobody exempt from the struggles of this past year. Everybody went through it. We may have all been in different boats, but we were all in the same storm. Amen. Everybody went through something. And you want to know, I think, the difference between those who are trying to trust God And those who are holding on to God and those who realize that God is with them, the difference between people maybe who are trusting in God and saying, God, I don't got a whole lot of anything, but I'm trusting you to work this thing out. You want to know the difference between those people and people who just trying to figure it all out on their own? Peace. Yes. I can sleep at night because I know the one who neither sleeps nor slumbers. Why I'm gonna stay up and worry about a problem when Jesus is? You know what a holy word that God may want to speak to some of you today and to me? Go to sleep. Go to sleep. You want to know one of the most spiritual things that some of us can do in this season? Go to sleep. Take a nap. Rather than worrying about it, go to sleep. Rather than reflecting about it, grab a pillow and go to sleep. Rather than losing sleep about it, rather than stressing about it, oh, let me say it like this, rather than posting about it, go to sleep. Take a nap. See, some of y'all were looking for something real deep today. Pastor, I need you to exegete the Greek Hebrew text of this word right here. You know what one of the most spiritually sanctifying things that you can do right now, if you're going through something crazy, give it to God, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Put it in his hands. Put it in his hands. Because I want you to understand something. Jesus never cracks under pressure. He lives for that. You know who Jesus reminds me of in a very small, this is a very, you know, fallible example, but Michael Jordan. Because it don't matter how tense the moment is, if number 23 got a little bit of time on that clock, and he got that ball in his hand coming up that court, that's death for the other team. Why? Because we're confident, this is my third point, that the peace of Jesus is not just credible, it's not just calming, but it's a confident peace. Because I'm confident in the one who controls the situation. I'm confident in his ability. I ain't confident in mine. I'm confident in his. Because if it come down to the last shot of the game and you put the ball in my hands, I might choke and crack under pressure. But if you put it in MJ's hands, them palms don't get sweaty. That blood pressure doesn't elevate. There's a calmness to it. And I hear Jesus saying to some of us today, the reason why I give you this word of peace in the middle of all the stress that you're going through is because I want you to know that you can have confidence that I got you. Notice what Jesus says after he tells the disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled, around verse 28. He says these words. He says, you've heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. I have told you before it happens. Watch this. I love the swagger of Jesus. I told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. Y'all missed it. Jesus said, I'm telling you in advance what's going to happen, so that when it happens, you can see that I was credible in telling you it was going to happen in the first place. In other words, you can have confidence, but he don't stop there. It gets better. He says, I will not talk with you much longer, because the ruler of the world is coming. Who is the ruler of the world? He's talking about Satan. Satan in the scriptures is oftentimes known as the prince of the air because of the sin in this world. But notice what Jesus says right here. And I, when I was preparing this message, ran around my office multiple times like Usain Bolt. He says, the ruler of this world, he's coming, but he has no power over me. Y'all missed it. Oh, opposition is coming, he says. Trouble is coming. Spiritual warfare is coming. Difficulty is coming. Problems are coming. Chaos is coming. Stress is coming. Trouble is coming. Fear is coming. But I want you to have good news and know this. It don't have no power over me. That the thing that is troubling you, I will give it trouble. That the thing that is causing fear in you, I will bring fear to it. Because there is nothing that you will ever face that's stronger than me. In other words, Jesus is saying, oh, the peace that I give you, it's a confident one. Because I'm that guy that will handle the situation. I'm that one that you can trust. I'm that one that you can lean on. I'm the one that you can depend on no matter what it is that you're going through. I want to give you a confident peace. That you would know that no matter what it is that you're facing, I got you. And I want you to understand something, church family. The peace that Jesus brings to your life, it brings with it an element of confidence. That means no matter whatever it is that you face, it does not have superior power over Jesus. It does not matter the trouble. It does not matter the struggle. I don't care what kind of hardship that you are facing. I'm minimizing it. It is a real thing. It is an authentic thing. It is 100% real. I'm not diminishing that, but I'm also helping you to elevate the power of God in your life. Because I want you to realize that whatever it is that you stand up against, I want you to understand it can't stand up against Jesus. That he has power over every single problem, trial, storm, temptation that you may be facing right now. Y'all don't believe me. All right, look in the Bible. Y'all remember these three boys? I call them the hot boys back in the Old Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, there was this guy by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar who was trying to get all the people to bow down and worship this image of gold that he had set up, pretty much to set up a shrine to himself. He says, when y'all hear the beat drop, bow down and there was three guys in particular that said, nah. Nebuchadnezzar puts out a threat. He says, whoever don't bow down and worship this image of gold that I've set up, they're going to be thrown into the furnace, and I'm going to turn that thing up seven times hotter than normal. You know what the majority of people did at that point? Take a knee. I ain't about to get cooked up in here. But you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? Nah, fam. We not bowing. Because our God is able to save us. Our God will rescue us. Ooh, but it don't stop there. This is the big boy, big girl Christianity right here. Big boy peace. You know what they say? But even if he doesn't, we still not going to bow. What kind of peace do you have where you can be facing impending death and be under pressure and still say, I'm not bowing for nothing? I only bow to one, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm not bowing down to the problems of life. I'm not bowing down to the fears that I face. I'm bowing down to the one who can control it all. Confident. I'm confident that the God that I serve, get me out of this. He's going to take care of this. He gonna handle this. Nebuchadnezzar throws them in the furnace. The Bible says a few moments later, they open up the furnace, or better yet, they open up, they look in there, and the Bible says that they not only saw three people walking around in the fire, unbound, but they see a fourth. And Nebuchadnezzar was like, hold on, fam, I thought we threw three people in here, but there's a fourth person walking around, and it looks like the Son of God. I'm here to let you know that no matter the trials and struggles that you face, God, Jesus is with you, that you can have peace in the middle of your problems, you can have peace in the middle of your pressure, that your hearts do not have to be troubled. He says, hey, you know what you can do when problems come? Smile at them. somebody give me another mic. This thing going to drive me crazy. You know what you could do in the middle of trauma, in the middle of all the difficult things that you face right now, in the middle of all the stress, in the middle of all the worry, the thing that you can do more than anything else is you can stand flat-footed on the word of God and on the power of God and on the peace of God to let you know that no matter what I may face in my life, God is with me. I'm confident that if he can save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a blazing furnace, surely he can handle whatever it is that I'm facing too. Surely he can handle it. Somebody say surely. Surely. You want to know one of the reasons why I was not moved by the gas shortage threat? It's because I told my wife this in the kitchen. I ain't sitting up here worried about no gas, and my tank was on E. I posted it online, and I had the tire pressure light on. I got two problems to fix. Thing was on E, and I'm seeing all these lines. And I said, you know, I'm good. You know why? Because my father
owns cattle on 1,000 hills, as the Bible says. The Bible also says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible also says that my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I'm not worried about no gas. I'm not worried about being able to fill up. The Lord will get me to point A to point B. He's able to take a little and he can make a whole lot out of it. He don't take a whole lot to be able to do a whole lot. As long as you got the power and the presence of God, it gives you peace in the midst of your problems. That's what I want you to know today, that you can have confidence in knowing that God is with you, that there's some assurance. And I've had conversations with some of you in here who've gone through crazy situations, and if you would look back, you would say the only reason I made it was because of the presence of God in my life. I want to get us to a place where we, as believers, can have a radical peace. That we could look at the same situation that the average person who does not know Jesus looks at and not flinch, not one bit. I'm not talking about we're not aware of our problems. I'm not even talking about that we don't feel the pressures that everybody else feels. I'm just saying our response to them is much different. That while everybody else is going crazy about it, while everybody else is freaking out about it, I'm doing what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. So you know what we do when the storms come? We're going to chill.
Yep, that's right.
Oh my gosh, what are you going to do? Trust God. Amen. Oh my gosh, what are you going to do? Believe God. Oh my gosh, why are you not going crazy? Because my God has the situation. Yeah. Oh my gosh, why are you not losing sleep about it? Because my God is in control of the situation. Oh my gosh, how are you going to handle this? And oh my gosh, how are you going to handle that? I got peace that surpasses all understanding because I know the one who is the Prince of Peace. That's how. So I trust him. I trust him. It doesn't mean that I'm oblivious to the struggles of life. It doesn't mean that I'm oblivious to the troubles of life. No, it means that I got peace that surpasses all understanding. It means that I can do what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says. Do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. And watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I hope this is making sense. I hope y'all getting some out of this, because the one thing that God was reminding me of this week as I was preparing this message is you don't have to worry about what the world says you have to worry about. Because you got me. While the world is concerned about shortages, in my kingdom, there is no shortage. In my kingdom, resources have never run dry. In my kingdom, joy has never run out. In my kingdom, love has never run out. In my kingdom, peace has never run out. And I just want to know, is anybody here today saying that I don't want the peace that this world gives any longer? I want the peace that Jesus says he wants to give me. I want the calming peace of Jesus. I want the credible peace of Jesus. I want the confident peace of Jesus. No longer am I going to walk around frantic anymore. No longer am I going to walk around afraid anymore. No. Now I'm going to trust him. Because I know that he's got me. I know that he's with me. I have this confidence that he's going to do what only he can do. So what am I going to do? I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm still going to go to work. I'm still going to raise these kids. I'm still going to be faithful. I'm going to do everything that I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to let God take care of the rest. Amen. I'm going to tell y'all, some of us, this might convict us because it convicted me. Some of the reason why we push back against the notion of peace is because you've lived your life with so much trauma. Wow. That any semblance of peace seems foreign to you. So this is why some of us in our relationships, we have sabotaged good, peaceful relationships because all we've been used to is dysfunction our whole life. But Jesus is saying today, I want to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. No longer does your life have to be characterized by stress, by by anxiety, by fear. Yes, it is real. Yes, we are aware of it. The Bible speaks so much about it, but you know what the Bible also says? You don't have to be given to it anymore. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be worried about anything. That word worry in the original Greek language means to strangle out. And I hear what God is saying to some of us in here today. Your life has, the air has been getting sucked out of your life because of your worry, because of your anxiousness. But Jesus is saying, but I got something for you that surpasses all understanding. A peace that transcends what's normal. A peace that doesn't make sense. A peace that you could possess, that even when you're going through horrible moments, difficult moments, the loss of a loved one, and people are trying to figure out, you lost a loved one, how have you not lost it? I have not lost it because the one who is in control of all things has a hold of my heart. I trust him. I believe in him. I stay close to him. The Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. He says, if you got me, you got everything that you need. If you got me, you got peace. If you got me, you got wholeness. If you got me, you got tranquility. I don't want you walking around any longer carried by the stresses of life. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You got peace. Lean into it. You got peace. Receive it. You got peace. Walk in it. This peace that Jesus gives is radical. This is different than what the world says. Because this type of peace says, even if the situation does not work out the way I want it to, I still trust God because I know he has plans to prosper me and not harm me. That's peace. Peace says, I can look at my bank account and I can look at my bills. And those bills have far exceeded what's in my bank account. But I got peace. I'm not stressed. I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. Doesn't mean that I'm not taking steps of faith. It does not mean that I'm not doing what God wants me to do. It just simply means I'm trusting. I'm going to trust God. And last time I checked, God's track record is pretty flawless when it comes to this area. If God can take the children of Israel through a Red Sea on dry ground, surely he can get you through whatever it is that you're going through. Come on, somebody say amen. If God can save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a burning furnace and take them out unscathed and not even have a stench or a smell of smoke, surely God can help you too. If God can take Daniel, who was thrown in the lion's den, and preserve him throughout the lion's den without a single lion laying his mouth on him, surely God can handle whatever it is that you're going through too. Peace. That surpasses all understanding. Confident that God will handle it. And if God can raise his son Jesus from the grave on the third day, the one who was beaten, the one who was flogged, the same Jesus who said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, the same Jesus that was bruised for our iniquity, that was wounded for our transgressions, the same Jesus who went and carried a cross on his back for miles upon miles to carry the weight of our sin upon himself, the one who had no sin, but the one who was sinless, the one who was the perfect Son of God, if God could raise him back to life, after he died on Friday, was crucified on Friday, and raised him back to life on the third day, what is a light bill to God? What is a stress to God? What is a sickness to God? What is a cancer to God? What is a loss to God? What is a war to God? I want you to know that you can walk in the incredible, credible, awesome, strong peace of God. Amen. This peace that's radical. This peace that got like a holy swag to it, that you can walk into a situation not with confidence, but confidence. That I can step into a situation and know, oh, God's got this. I can step into a situation and say, Jesus, you handle this. I can look at a relational struggle that I'm having right now. Jesus, you take care of this. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's the peace that this world can't give. but it's also the peace that this world can't take away. And I want to move us to a place, family, where we walk in this peace every day. I think one of the greatest tools of evangelism for today's time is not how much scripture you know. It's not how much scripture you can say. It's not how much scripture you can post on social media. I think the greatest form of evangelism today is trusting God. Because what culture says is trust in yourself. Jesus says, trust in me. That's why he said earlier, John 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. Trust me. Don't trust in yourself. In your own strength, you don't have enough. But if you lean on me, if you lean on my strength, you got everything that you need and more. And when you realize this, church family, this is now how you can go to sleep at night without a worry and without a care in the world. You can sleep like a baby because you know that your Father in heaven has his hand on every situation. I want to ask us to stand to our feet in this moment. Maybe you're watching online, and like Pastor Edwin, my life has been filled with so much struggle, so much difficulty, so much trauma, so much weight. But I want you to know that Jesus says, the peace that I give you will surpass all understanding. That you don't have to worry any longer. That you don't have to walk through life stressed. You don't have to walk through life carrying the burdens of life. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. Aren't you tired of carrying around the anxiousness in your heart? He says, come to me, those who are weary and tired. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you shalom. A shalom that surpasses all understanding. But Pastor Edwin, you don't know the trouble and the trauma and the struggles that I'm dealing with. You're right, but Jesus does. And his word is still true to your situation. But Pastor Edwin, you don't know the weight that I'm carrying right now. You don't know all the relational issues that I'm having right now. You don't know how hard it is right now to try to find a job in the midst of a pandemic. I'm jobless. I'm trying to make ends meet. You don't know all the things that I'm going through. You're right. I don't know. But I know the one who is able to provide. And he says, I will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. This radical peace. That no longer do you have to be a victim to your trauma and to your troubles anymore. That no longer do troubles have to rule your heart. Jesus says these words in Paul says these words in Colossians 3:15. He says, "And let the peace of God or the peace of Christ rule your hearts." Let the peace of Christ rule your heart. And I hear God saying, I want to free you from what's been ruling your heart. Today is the day where no longer do your worries rule your heart. No longer will your anxiousness rule your heart. No longer will your problems rule your heart. No. Today is the day where my peace is going to rule your hearts. Then no longer do you have to be concerned about whether or not God takes care of you. He does. He cares. He's covering you. He's providing for you. He's protecting you. And just in this moment, I believe that some of you are here, and this word has spoken specifically to you. Many of us have been carrying around so much anxiousness in our hearts. So it's led to us making anxious decisions, impulsive decisions, rash moves, because of what's been on our heart. But Jesus says, hey, take upon yourself my peace. I offer it to you. It's a gift. All you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is walk in it. And so I'm going to ask us, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, for some of us who are here right now, if you could be honest and say, this is me, Pastor Edwin. I came in here stressed. I came in here worried. I came in here anxious. My mind was on so many things. My heart has been torn in so many different directions. If this is you, I want you just, while nobody's looking, would you just raise your hand just for a moment? You're carrying anxiousness in your heart. I want you to be honest. This lifting up the hand is a way of breakthrough. If you're online, you could put a hand emoji in there. And here's what I want you to understand about what's so powerful about your hand being raised. In the same way that you're acknowledging your anxiousness, your hands being elevated and raised is also a sign that you're releasing your anxiousness to God right now in the name of Jesus. That God, we are giving you our cares and we're giving you our concerns. You said that if we cast our cares on you, that you will take care of what is concerning us. We cast our cares on you because you care for us. We cast our worries on you because you care for us. We cast our anxiousness on you because you care for us. And I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single hand that's lifted, every single person who's watching online, who is stressed, who is worried, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would begin to step into a radical peace of God. I pray in the name of Jesus that they would begin to experience the fullness of the peace that you want to bring to their lives. Peace in their home, peace in their relationships, peace in their marriage, God, peace in their minds, peace in their bodies. I pray, Father, that as they release their cares, that you would flood their hearts with peace. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed today. If you're here and you're saying, man, I feel so much of a weight on my life because of my sin and my shame. I feel so much of a weight on my life because of all the things that I've done. And no matter what I try to do, I can't shake it. I want you to understand something. Jesus came to do something about that. Jesus came to save you and I from our sinfulness. Jesus came to restore your brokenness. Jesus came to restore you, to make you into a new creature. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to give you peace. And some of you are here right now, and you have yet to say yes to Jesus. You've yet to say yes to him. You've yet to devote your life to him. I want you to know that today is the day of a new beginning. Today is the day where you can say yes to him. Today is the day where you can give your life to him. Today is the day where no longer do you have to carry your sin, shame, weight any longer, because he takes it upon himself. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I'm watching online, I'm here in person, I want to receive Jesus into my life. I want to believe in him. I want to say yes to him. If that's you, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, you've never asked him to come into your life. You've never asked him to save you from your sin. You've never asked him to bring you into the family of God. You've never confessed that he's your Lord and that he is your Savior. If that's you today and you're saying, today, I want to give my life to Jesus, while nobody's looking, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you just to shoot up your hand really quick. If that's you, you're saying, today, I want to give my life to Jesus. Today, I want to say yes to Jesus. Some of you are here today and you already said yes to Jesus, but you strayed away. But today is the day where you're saying, I'm coming back home. I'm committing my life to Christ today. If that's you, lift up your hand. I just want to pray for you in this moment. If you're saying, I want to recommit my life to Christ today. If you're watching online, this is for you as well. But if this is you and you want to be included in this prayer, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me life and life more abundantly. I receive your salvation. I receive your love. I receive your grace. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church family, let's put our hands together for every single person who said yes to Jesus today. Come on, can we do better than that today? Come on, let's make some noise online. Give some digital hand clap emojis. Come on, let's open up our mouths to celebrate those who said yes to Jesus today. Come on, let's bless God for the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Anybody want the peace of God at work in their life? Anybody want to walk in the peace of God? Because this peace that Jesus gives, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Family, walk in his peace. Walk in his radical peace. Amen, somebody? Anybody walking out in here today with a radical peace in their hearts? You're going to sleep easy tonight because you give it over to Jesus. Come on, Pastor Eric, come on and close us out.